Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
Oh, and I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we're your friendly neighborhood Clippers podcast.
Yes.
Just a couple of best friends and Clipper credentialed media folks who bring you Locked On Clippers 5 days a week.
5 days a week, 7 a.m. is when they come out. So start your day off right.
It's a absolutely fun time.
Yeah.
With this rest schedule, we need to come out 5 days a week. God. We might need to come out 7 days
Jesus,
a week.
For sure.
Anyways, we're going to kick things off talking about that game one loss to the Suns, 120 to 114. This one felt right there for the taking.
It was.
So it does hurt a little bit to drop that one, but we'll talk about what we liked as well as what we didn't like and just kind of overall how we're feeling after that one. And then in segment two, it's the freshies. We're talking fresh guys to the squad. We're going to continue kind of talking about rotation talk because it's a very real problem for the Clippers right now.
It's the discourse right now, I'd say.
And we will also have a Luke Kennard progress report for you, as we do most every Monday, unless there's nothing to report.
Even when there's nothing to report, we get the nice little joke in there.
And then in shavings, I mean, we're going to talk a little bit more about sort of the injuries and the scheduling situation. And then we also asked which Western Conference Finals team you thought would be worse off. And that's Phoenix without CP3 or the Clippers without Kawhi. Can't wait to dig into those results. So all that and more coming up right about now. But first, I got to let you know that this episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, the Clippers in their first Western Conference final game, which did feel pretty surreal.
Don't let that go over your head,
folks.
Let's
not let that get missed out. It was surreal to see that happen. The Clippers lost 120 to 114. The cardiac Clippers were in full effect in this one. There were some late threes to bring this game to like a two-point game with 22 seconds left. Yet again, we saw some unreal fight from the Clippers.
Yeah.
Which was great.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, fatigue just became very apparent, I would say,
right
towards the end of that third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Struggled a little bit to execute down the stretch. And
the Suns really kind of, when the Suns started to separate was when it was, they were executing at a much higher level.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it was fatigue.
Yeah. We had a couple bad turnovers. Yeah. It's rough. It was right there. You know?
Right there. But, you know, it's game one, hostile environment, two bucket loss.
Yeah.
Not too crazy. Paul George, what we liked, continues to dominate.
Yes.
34 points, 7 of 15 from three.
15 attempts is, I mean, solid.
Love it. I hope so.
Look. Especially when he's still taking like 8 free throw attempts. Like
yes.
if he can manage both things, I mean.
Yeah. He did all he could. He looked tired late. We also, you know, Marcus Morris took a knock in this one. Played very limited minutes in the second half.
Going to be something to watch.
If he's out for any time, Paul George needs to be taking 15 threes every single game.
Yeah.
He's our best shooter.
Yeah. Next to Reggie Jackson, who we also got to talk about. I mean, he's second best player on the team right now.
Yeah.
He had 24, 6, and 4. I mean, the thing with Reggie is, like, he...
It's he was like bad how, in the first half. He was bad from deep.
He has great timing, whereas some players have great positioning. He
yes.
seems to hit a bucket at the second we need momentum.
That's a great call. 100%.
Which is great. And, I mean, like, look, defensively, he's always going to have his drawbacks. I think... We're going to talk mostly about rotation, sort of, and what we didn't like, and it might even spill over to the next segment, so I don't want to hamper on it too much right now, but I don't know why he's being put into positions out there with two other guards.
Who aren't good defensively.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. One other guard who is good defensively is Patrick Beverley.
Looked sprightly today.
Dude, he was buzzing around the court. Only limited to 15 minutes. He should have gotten a couple of Rondo's minutes, which we'll talk about, but... No, he was looking good. Pat Bev is trending in the right direction, and I would not be surprised, and I plead with Ty Lue that we see more of him in game two.
Yeah. Is a defensive guard sort of the answer to the non-PG minutes?
It might have to be, because these non-PG minutes were just rough defensively.
Yes.
DeMarcus Cousins destroyed Dario Saric.
Yeah.
This bleeds into what we didn't like.
There was an interesting little boogie run there while Ayton was out.
Yeah. Key words that you just said.
Yeah.
While Ayton was out. At one point, Boogie, like, he hit a three. He dunked on Saric. It helped buy Paul George some rest,
mm-hmm.
which was good, what we needed at the time. But, yeah, I mean, you know, you have a note on here with encouraging loss. Like, I guess this is an encouraging loss.
All things considered, I mean, this is a fairly solid performance. I mean, it's really hard. It's like such a double-edged sword when you have to extend the rotation to get guys some rest.
We knew that was going to happen, too.
But at the same time, I mean, those guys that are getting rested now have to dig out of a hole that's created by running these guys deep in the rotation.
100%.
So I think, you know, given some of that, there's some clear things that we can tighten up. And the rotations can get better. Here's the split in the first two away games.
Very doable. What we didn't like, I mean, Devin Booker was unstoppable.
Yeah.
40 points, 11 boards, 13 assists, or whatever it was. Kind of got whatever he wanted after the first quarter. Initially, it seemed like the Clippers were doing a good job of having kind of other Suns try and beat us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Jay Crowder was taking... I was following the Lockdown Suns account, which is a great account. You should follow it, everybody. But he was like, oh, Jay Crowder just took like a contested two. Like, that's like the Clippers were forcing the Suns to take shots they don't usually take. But then it just kind of fatigue and some interesting rotations. And I mean, Booker, look, we love Devin Booker on this podcast. He's elite.
He's going to find ways to score. Yeah. Like, it's just that is what it is.
And now we're getting into the rotation talk because DeAndre Ayton had 20-9. He was -7 overall, which is kind of a nice takeaway.
Mm-hmm.
Field Clippers. So, like, small ball against Ayton, fairly effective.
There was the key is the rebounding. Like, when we're able to still snag boards, then it's great.
Right.
You know, if they're getting in that second effort, that's a score almost every time.
Yeah, exactly.
That was the key factor. And I thought early on we did a much better job of it.
100%. There was a, like... There's a lot of things that went into this game not going the Clippers' way in losing. One of the very key things that did not help the Clippers was an extended run of time where Boogie Cousins had to guard DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah.
Which obviously was a nightmare.
That should be an instant sub out. I don't know why.
Yeah, Boogie can't be on the floor.
I don't know why you wouldn't immediately counter that. And Zoo overall was like net neutral.
Quite literally.
Yeah.
Yeah, plus minus of zero.
I mean... I didn't love that he had those two back-to-back fouls that got the Suns into the bonus in the fourth, but, you know, he was just doing his best out there to defend, and I hope that he can bring a little bit more to the table.
He needs to bring a lot more to the table.
Than what we saw in this game, just because, you know, as we said, these rotations are getting really small, and if we don't have 10 guys that we can trust, we know that. We gotta have 8.
Yeah, that's a very good
and
point.
It might have to be 8 without Marcus Morris. So
yeah,
damn. I don't know. It just gets a lot more difficult if you can't soak up positive minutes.
It really does. It was the mid second, early fourth that Boogie got DeAndre Ayton. This is a stat from Lucas Hahn. DeAndre Ayton had 8 points in 5 minutes versus DeMarcus Cousins and 12 points in 32 minutes versus non-Cousins Clippers.
Wow.
Very telling of what the situation was right there. There were some insane lineups in this one, but we were kind of talking about before we started recording, there had to be. We knew this was coming. When Ty Lue said he was going to play 10 guys, we think it was going to be a different 10 guys?
Yeah, I mean, like, we kind of knew you might have to endure dropping this one. Unless
you
can really get some... You have to have multiple role guys have great games again.
Yeah, we saw Reggie, Pat, Luke, Batum, Cousins... We saw Rondo, Reggie, Luke, Batum, Cousins, which, like, I mean, we had a 10-0 run by one of the Canoes lineups, but PG still had to play 39 minutes. So, like, it's this thing.
Oh, man, he's going to have to. He's playing 40 minutes every game here on out.
Whew. The minutes distribution's, like, game 2 is going to be so interesting. We had Batum at 37, Paul George at 39, Reggie at 39, Rajon Rondo at 20. We got to talk about how bad Rondo was. In this game.
Yeah. I mean, team worst minus 14.
Team worst minus 14. There was a couple possessions where there were zero passes thrown, and Rajon just tried to do a layup and blew it, which that's not why he's on the team.
I mean, he did still have 7 assists, though, and he did hit both his threes.
Yes, he hit both his threes, which are clutch. This was the Rondo roller coaster game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there were pluses and negatives. I don't think that his minutes load should be that high. I think it should be...
Rondo played 22 minutes.
It should probably be like 15 or sub that.
Him and Bev should switch minute totals.
But you know, 15. There were some possessions too where when he could stay in front of Booker, you know, it did encourage him to pass on the ball. So Yeah, it was bad. I mean, there's no way around it. It was bad.
The loss isn't his fault or anything like that. I just think wasn't productive minutes. And we're going to talk about some stuff in that in the next segment.
But. Yeah, yeah. I think it needs to be shorter stints for him. And some of these stints, too, like of his 22 minutes, were so long before him being subbed out.
Van Gundy was, like, shocked.
Yeah, and, like, he's old. And, like, I don't know. I think even if you do want to play him 22 minutes, which I'm not suggesting, like,
no.
Make it in shorter stints.
Yeah, exactly. Break it up. How are we feeling?
Like I said, I mean, I feel like it's encouraging, you know, considering everything we had to overcome in this one.
Yeah.
You know, in the fight late, I just thought, you know, there were times as a fan where I'm like, all right, this is over. And the team said, no, it's not, buddy.
Exactly. The biggest thing, I mean, that the Morris injury situation is what I think all Clippers fans are focused on right now.
Yeah.
Because, tell you what, if he misses any time, that's... That's another hurdle and a pretty large series of hurdles to overcome. The Clipper, it's not like they can't do it.
Yeah.
But it's going to take, I mean, I'm really excited to see what happens with Ty Lue in game two with these adjustments.
So this is kind of a funny thing at this point because it's like we're always excited for the adjustments, but now there's so few players that you can positively play.
Yeah.
It's not even adjustments. It's just tightening the rotation absolutely as short as it can possibly be without anyone, you know, getting too fatigued.
Yeah. It's going to be a big one in game two, but you know what? The Clippers can absolutely win it, so let's focus on that. Coming up, we're going to be talking the freshies and the Luke Kennard progress report. We're fiending for some more Luke Kennard, but first...
Luke.
Will, if someone listening to this is the hiring expert for their company, where should they go to hire people?
I mean, Indeed.com. If you're listening to this, you definitely are the hiring expert for your company, and what you really need is help making your short list of quality candidates. You need a hiring partner who helps make your life easier. You need Indeed. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, and interview all on Indeed. Get your quality short list of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for the candidates that meet must-have qualifications and schedule and complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. Indeed makes connecting with and hiring the right talent fast and easy with tools like Indeed Instant Match, giving you quality candidates whose resume on Indeed fits your job description immediately, and Indeed Skills Test that on average reduces hiring time by 27%. You can choose from more than 130 skills tests or add your own, then add your must-have requirements so you only pay for the applicants that meet them. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. If you're hiring, you need Indeed. Get started right now with a free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/locked. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/locked. Indeed.com/locked. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, welcome to the Freshies. / Luke Kennard progress report.
Hey, where we want to start?
We're starting with Luke Kennard.
Luke!
Ohio's finest. The Ohio contingent is overjoyed right now with Luke Kennard progress report. He needed more minutes in game one. And I think some of them should have been Rondo's minutes. I don't think this is too crazy of a hot take right now.
No, not too crazy of a hot take. I mean, he brings some scoring to the table.
He brings much more reliable shooting.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. The defense is just as bad.
That's my thing, though, right?
The defense is worse.
If the defense is worse / just as bad, but Rondo isn't facilitating, and in these playoffs, Rondo's shooting 35% at the rim.
Yeah, so that's
so, like, he's not facilitating. Rough. He's missing at point-blank range.
Yeah.
And the defense is bad. Whereas Luke Kennard, it's like, all right, defense... marginally worse than Rondo. They're both going to get hunted.
It's a step down.
They're both going to get hunted either way, right? Like, if one of them's on the floor, they're going to get targeted. So that, to me, that's kind of like a wash. The shooting is better with Kennard. If there's not going to be facilitating from Rondo... He had 7 assists. He also was a ball stopper a lot of time. Like, I just don't see why not give him a couple more minutes.
No.
Especially if we're shooting 47 three-point attempts. That is a mind-blowing number from the Clippers, too.
Yeah.
47 three-point attempts. Rondo made his. I know, like, looking at the stats, it may seem weird, but, I mean, he's the worst plus-minus on the team. Like,
no. I mean, I'm just saying that, like, I think that Rondo can be effective in shorter stints. This
I'm down with that.
22 minutes is just like too much of an ask. So I'm all for it. Like I think yeah, Luke Kennard should probably be, especially if we're down another shooter, should be probably playing 15 minutes.
That's a good call.
As long as we can keep him on the floor. There are times though where he's easily switched on,
right,
and then he's just getting destroyed.
Yeah, and he's especially right. Like he's, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like a lineup. What did we talk about in that last segment? Rondo, Reggie, Luke. I'm not going to pretend like that lineup's going to have any defensive, real defensive capabilities, right? Like, that's a net loss kind of any time with Rondo, Reggie, and Luke. But this goes into, like, what adjustments we're going to see in game two because, like, we still need to run. Like, we still got to run maybe
Luke,
10 guys.
Pat, man.
why not? Like, I'm not mad at that.
Run them out there with Batum and Zoo. Just see what happens.
Well, that's another thing we should maybe talk about is Terrence Mann, 27 minutes.
Yeah.
Effective, 3 of 4, 3 of 3 from 3.
Not a whole lot of attempts there, but...
Yeah. What did we think of his usage? Did he need more minutes? 27 seems kind of low for a team that wants to switch 1 through 5. He was having a hard time with Devin Booker.
Yeah.
Which, and I don't know how much you can blame on Terrence Mann.
He had the 4 personal fouls. That's going to limit you.
Right. It's a good call.
Ty Lue tends to be a little cautious with guys fouling out.
Yes.
At least he has been this year.
Yeah.
The answer is yes. I would like to see him playing a little bit more. But I think that it was wise to maybe keep the minutes sub 30 after the last game, sort of let him, settle back in. It's going to be crucial to have him playing 30 plus minutes. I mean, that's the thing. Like we just keep coming back to is the rotation. It's maybe 8 guys. And honestly, it's probably 7.
Yeah. So we got the starting 5, which we had today, which was a small ball. Then you got Bev. So there's 6.
Yeah. Zoo kind of barely. Like, I don't know, man.
Zoo's on the fringe for me right now, man. He's got to be a lot better.
I have to agree. I thought that...
Which is disappointing.
I thought it was really telling that we weren't able to carve out some ground with Zoo out there against Saric. Like, we weren't pulling down more boards. Like, I don't know. We weren't able to exploit that. And I think that if you're not able to win those non-8 minutes, if Devin Booker's going to continue to play 44 minutes or whatever, I don't know what to tell you.
Is there any assurance in the fact that Book played 44 minutes?
Absolutely not, man. He's young. He's ready to go. Yeah.
He's ready. They had a week of rest. Very good point. Yeah, the rotation's getting shorter. Kind of moving on to the freshies a bit. Like, Boogie needs to only be on the court when Saric is out there.
Absolutely.
Boogie can't match anyone else's minutes.
And I think that this, like, just once again was the rest thing.
Yeah, for sure. Boogie's minutes are dependent on being pretty much neutral if he's scoring.
That's the thing, though. He has to be scoring almost every possession because he's going to get targeted on almost every other possession.
He had 11 points and he was minus 11.
Yeah.
In his time on the court, which is kind of like...
pretty telling of what you're
getting. It's like fun when he's hitting threes or whatever, but it's also a necessity.
Yeah.
Because of how 100%. The defense looks. So that's a little rough. Rondo's role still doesn't seem to be totally figured out.
Yeah.
Which is kind of odd. He and Bev can't really play together. Spacing's a nightmare.
And Lewis said as much.
Yeah. So people seem to think that he's going to get more time when Chris Paul comes back. To kind of as like a get in the head move, like maybe as a mental defender, if you will. But
look, I thought Rondo showed some. When he could stay in front of Devin Booker, I don't know. I still think Bev. I would love to see some more Bev out there, see what he can do.
He and Rondo. So it was funny. Bev and Rondo did have kind of a nice, like, swarming steal on Devin Booker at one point.
Yeah.
Which was cool. It was very much like, oh, these are two vets making a, a vet move play right here. But it's just a little, still feels a little wonky. And then, between Batum and Terrence Mann, those guys are playing so many damn minutes right now.
Yeah.
Like, compared to even last year's run. we talked about a little bit up top, but, like, Nick Batum has to play 38 minutes every night the rest of the way, right?
Yeah, it might be 40, I think that's the thing in this one. Like, I, they did the best that they possibly could to sort of limit his minutes to 37. But if you look at
his minutes to 37, I mean, crazy. No, I'm like,
but like if you look at some of these lineups, you know, when you have like the Rondo, Reggie, Luke kind of thing or whatever, Batum is the glue that stabilizes a ton of these lineups.
Oh yeah, when those lineups
so we're
are
not
going,
getting absolutely run off the floor.
When those lineups are going poorly, Ty Lue calls a timeout and just puts Batum in.
And that's like, so his minutes are gonna stay high like that because he's in every closing lineup.
Yeah,
he has to bail out, you know, so many other
the bad lineups.
So many other lineups. Yeah, it's just really difficult, man.
Whew, hats off to Nick Batum. Yeah, this is going to be, and again, just this is kind of a broader thing, but, you know, I'm excited to see Tyler's adjustments. This was a feel-out game. DeMarcus Cousins kind of joked in the postgame that the defense will be better.
Mm-hmm.
But I honestly think the biggest adjustment on defense is just not playing Boogie on Ayton.
Yeah.
That seems like a really big, I don't even know if that's a margin win.
Definitely.
Just seems like a regular win. Anything else on the freshies we want to talk about? Love the fight from the new guys. Can't be mad at that at all.
Yeah, loving the fight from the new guys. Curious to see just what they have left in the tank for game two at this point.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I'm happy they're
I'm confident.
There. Absolutely. You know? We have Ty Lue's biggest advantage. We have adjustments.
Yeah.
We know what they're going to throw at us. I really don't want to go down 0-2 again, though. Tired of that, man.
Hot take. That would be bad.
Hot take, going down 0-2, not fun. Coming up, we're going to be talking a quick poll we did on Twitter, just kind of talking about which team was worse off without their number one. But first, we got to give a shout out to Built Bar. The new and improved Built Bar is even more delicious than before. They have 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut. Their 6 new flavors include caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp, and my favorite, coconut brownie chunk. Built Bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They are soft and easy to chew. They're great for the health-conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, great for the keto diet. I like the peanut butter flavor as well. It's got 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams sugar, 5 grams net carbs. Fantastic. Right now, free cooler with purchase while supplies last. Bit of a limited drop.
Yes,
only lasts for about a week or so. Go to builtbar.com. Use promo code LOCKED15, that's all cap letters, one word, and you'll get 15% off your next order. One more time, use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
Okay, so we're back with shavings, and, you know, like, the unfortunate reality right now is just due to injuries and due to COVID, we have the first, at least the first one game, probably the first two games, with both teams in the Western Conference Finals missing key contributors.
F COVID and F scheduling.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah, and I mean, to pile on top of that, like, why was the first round, why was there so much more rest
why could
given
people
in the
take
first round?
Why could people take, like, why could you rent an Airbnb and have a nice vacation during the first round?
I guess because there's more games, but, like, man, just spread it out a little.
Just space it out. The minutes load for some of these guys is absolutely, like, criminal. Like, the Clippers have played, what, 14 games in 29 days?
Something like that.
Something
yeah.
like that. Every other day, pretty much. I don't know how much. It's unbelievable watching these guys play this minutes load. Like, Paul George has played, I think, the most minutes of anyone in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right now. And we're now in the West. Like, I was on Josh Lloyd's podcast, and he was like, how's it feel at the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals? And I was like, honestly, man, it feels great, but we had a day.
Yeah.
We had a day to be really hyped on it. And I'm still, like, processing the fact that whatever the hell happened in Game 6 happened.
Yeah.
And now we're in the Western Conference Finals. Like, it doesn't... I'm not even caught up. We cover the team, and I feel like I'm not even caught up.
Definitely. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
With where my brain is at with all this.
Yeah, and I think, like... I mean, obviously the cumulative sort of knocks that we always talk about are going to be present. And yes, you're going to have games where you do have these sort of fatigue. I want to call them flameouts because they still fought really deep into game. But it was clearly a factor in that, like,
absolutely,
in that third quarter and being able to close out down the stretch. But I do think that in some regards, it has kept some of the guys sharper.
Oh, yeah, because there's just no time. They literally have no time to worry or fret on it. That's a good call. We asked NBA Twitter which Western Conference Finals team is worse off without their number one. That, of course, is Phoenix without CP3 and the LA Clippers without Kawhi Leonard. pretty tight in this one. But Phoenix without CP3 won 60% of the vote. LA Clippers without Kawhi, 40%. Where would you vote in this?
It's absolutely the Clippers without Kawhi. I mean, I would put Kawhi as probably the best player in this series, if healthy.
Fair. I think I would actually go Phoenix without CP3. Part of me is saying that because, I mean, the Suns got a 40-point triple-double from DeAndre Ayton. Not DeAndre Ayton. That'd be insane.
Devin Booker.
From Devin Booker. They won by six. Right? Like, that would be not worrisome if I was a Suns fan. Obviously not, because you got the win and Devin Booker's fantastic. But, you know, that's the kind of performance you it seems like you maybe need.
Yeah.
Close to it. I don't think you need that every time, obviously. But I think it's closer than 60-40. I'd honestly maybe put it at like 55-45.
Like, but you'd be inclined to lean CP3.
I'd lean towards CP3. And again, because we talked about this on the last episode, albeit after a couple celebratory drinks, the Clippers system isn't totally built around Kawhi.
No.
Right? And neither so with is the Suns with CP3, but CP3 drives their system.
I mean, it seemed like Devin Booker was doing a pretty fine job driving it.
Right, but he had a 40-point triple-double, so that's the thing, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
If driving it requires a 40-point triple-double, pretty tough task. But, I mean, but the other side of the ball, the defensive side.
I mean, that's where, that and the rebounding is really where we miss Kawhi the most.
Yeah.
Because we have, you know, we've had the luxury of having some of our other guys be able to fill the scoring void.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the defense will just never be at that level.
And you're still getting 20 points no matter what, pretty much, from Kawhi.
Yeah.
Like
25.
Like, literally no matter what, you're getting probably a pretty efficient 20 and guarding the other team's number one.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. No news on the Kawhi knee
yet.
Only thing we have is that
there's some pretty heavy speculation that it's like a grade one strain.
Yes.
But, like, I say this is speculation because that's purely all that it is right now. There has been no official word.
And if it was a grade one, that's what, 2 to 4 weeks?
Yeah.
And it's been... less than a week.
It's been less than a week. It'll be a week on Wednesday.
In less than a week.
Which will be our third game.
Game three is on Thursday. Game four is on Saturday.
Gotcha.
So
just before game three.
So just before game three, it will have been 1 week.
Yeah.
If it's two, yeah, I wouldn't, and I don't even think this is doom and gloom, but I would not be surprised if Kawhi's out for this series.
Yeah.
That's not, I don't think that's a crazy thing at all. We hope he's obviously in before the end, but only if it's 100% healthy.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you what is not a good idea is rushing back Kawhi.
No.
It's not good for anybody. And you're not going to convince Kawhi that he's going to rush back either.
No.
Whew. All right. I think that about wraps it up. Long weekend. Big weekend.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I can't believe that we just made our first Western Conference final on Friday and we're already talking to you down 0-1 in the Western Conference final.
Yeah. Not enough
such
hours.
Such a whirlwind.
Not enough hours between game six and going down 0-1 from a complete fan perspective.
Yeah.
Saturday, I felt like I was just like floating on a cloud. Then it kind of hit like 6 p.m. and I was like, the conference finals are tomorrow.
Yeah.
Whew. Well, Tuesday's episode. We're going to be doing a Twitter Tuesday, so send your questions over to @LockedOnClips. We're doing a Clippers versus Suns Game 2 preview, because that's how these things go. Of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, Will, where can these fantastic listeners tell other people that they should listen to us?
You can check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Spotify, we're on Stitcher, we're on Deezer, we're on Google Podcasts, we're on Amazon Music. You can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. It's great. As we mentioned up top, we do come at you Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Pacific.
Oh, yeah.
We'd love to have your listen.
We absolutely would. Thank y'all so much. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.